Welcome to the Faith Lighthouse Church Message of the Week. We hope that you enjoy this teaching. For more information about this message and other resources, visit mylighthouse.church.
Today, we're concluding our series called Dependent. And this has been the whole design behind this series has been to look at giving and celebrating thanks to God. Celebrating all that he's done, all the wonderful things that God has given to us. As Rebecca was saying that, you know, during her prayer over the offering, that God has given us every good gift. God has blessed our lives, and Thanksgiving is an opportunity for us to kind of take stock of what God has given to us and what God has done for us in our lives. And we should be thankful for all that God has given to us. Not just during the Thanksgiving season, but all year long. But even more importantly, during the Thanksgiving season, we should give thanks to God. That ultimately, God wants us to be dependent on him. That we don't need to worry about doing everything ourselves, but we have a relationship with our Heavenly Father who wants us to be dependent on him. Not independent, but dependent on him. And that's the relationship that we have with him. If we understand that, it can unlock so many things in our lives to understand that God wants a relationship with me and wants me to be dependent on him. I don't have to do this thing on my own. And that's ultimately what God wants, is for us to be dependent on him. You know, one of the things that we often do during Thanksgiving is say thank you, right? We say thanks to God. Thanks for all that he has done. And you know, one of the things that we are trying to instill in our kids as they grow and get older is to say thank you if somebody does something for them, if somebody gives them a gift or somebody does something nice for them, to say thank you. That we all appreciate it when somebody says thank you. If you hold a door open for somebody and they say thank you, you say thank you. You don't just walk past them. You want to recognize what they have done. You know, and verbally saying thank you is important, but it's also nice to get one of these every now and then. Just, if you can't see it, it's a thank you card. And on the inside, it's blank. So you can write your own words. There are some thank you cards that they have, you know, a little sentence or something in there. But I like to use these cards because they're blank and I can personalize them. I can say thank you to people that have done things. I can say thank you for coming to church. Thank you for visiting. Thank you for helping us. Thank you for whatever it may be. Just to express a little bit of gratitude. It's always nice to get something in the mail that's not a bill or junk mail, right? And so when you get something like this in the mail, you're like, wow, okay, this doesn't look, you know, the size of the envelope doesn't look like junk mail and it doesn't look like a bill. So what in the world is it? And you can't wait to open up. And then when you get a little card like this for somebody to recognize something that you have done or something they have done and you're just saying thank you means a lot. And it doesn't have to be long. It can just be a sentence or two, but just to show your appreciation. And we need to show that same appreciation to God. And, you know, some people will even do this. I've heard of people that they will write, not necessarily thank you cards, but when they're journaling, that they'll write thank you notes to God. Thank you for answering this prayer. Thank you, God, for meeting my need. Thank you for being with me. Whatever it may be, just as a way to put it down on paper and you can go back and visually see what God has done and how he has answered prayers in your lives. Saying thank you can go a long way. In any relationship, and if you just, as a husband or wife, and your spouse does something for you, they went out of their way, and you say thank you, it's a way to represent, wow, you actually noticed I did that? You know, that you're approving, and you're saying how much you appreciate what they've done. A simple thank you can go so far. And we need to give those same thanks to God. Thanking God for all the things that he has done. Providing for all of our needs. But God has also given us so much more than just our needs, but he goes so much above and beyond that. And so today I want to take a look at another psalm today, Psalm chapter 37. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. If not, it's going to be on the screen. We're going to read a couple of verses out of Psalm 37 today. Starting at verse 1, do not fret because of those who are evil or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will do this. Verse 6. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn. your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. Now, this passage has some interesting points to it. And one of the things that we see here is something that we probably all struggle with at one point in time or another, is that we may look around at others and see that they are maybe prospering and we are not, or they are receiving things, good things, and we are not. And they may be people who are living completely opposite of the things of God. You see, when we have attitudes or thoughts of that, when we look at other people and we say, God, why is it they are prospering? Why are good things happen to them? I'm trying my best. I'm reading your word. I'm praying. I'm going to church. I'm trying to live for you. But yet, they don't even do anything close to that, but yet they're prospering. That all these good things are happening to them. When we have those thoughts or those attitudes, it can take us from being thankful to God and the life that we have. When we have those thoughts and that mindset, we're no longer thinking and being thankful for that God, what God has done in our lives, but now we're just being upset and possibly even angry or frustrated that we're not living that life, or God isn't blessing us and we're no longer thankful. But our attitudes and our minds have changed. We look at our lives and we compare what's going on. Why do they have this and I've got this, and it seems to be out of balance. We look at other people's lives and we try to see things and we may envy things that they have. It reminds me of the Rebecca's favorite movie, one of her favorite movies, the Disney movie Little Mermaid. Now, she's shaking her head in approval. See, got it right. Now, in The Little Mermaid, if you remember back to it, maybe it's been a long time since you watched it, but in The Little Mermaid, Ariel is envious of people that have legs. You know, she's this mermaid, you know, living under the sea, and she's looking at people, and I know you just went to that song. If you watched that movie, you just went to that song. But she's envious of those that have legs, and she wants everything. She wants to be like the humans that have legs, and she wants to be out of the water and walk on dry land. She just wants that so bad. She is so envious of what they have and what she looks at her life and the lack of what she has. And so she makes a deal. She makes a deal that she gives up her beautiful voice in order for her to have legs. That she's looking and she wants to be on land and she's looking at I want that so bad. So she makes this deal. And she has to give up her voice in order to get legs. She wanted so bad what everybody else had or what others had, and she lost focus of really what was important. That many times we can be focused on so much on what we don't have or what other people do have, and we lose focus. And we end up sacrificing blessings that God has given to us. Her voice was a blessing. Her voice was a blessing. You're like, Pastor, that's just a cartoon. Yes, I understand. It's a cartoon. But it truly was a blessing. She had a beautiful voice, but she gave it up. She sacrificed this blessing in order to have legs. Many times, that's how our attitudes shift. We go from being thankful for what God has given to us and how he has blessed us because we don't have what somebody else may have, and we become envious. And in turn, we sacrifice the blessings that God has given to us. And it makes me ask the question, are we really appreciative for the things that God has given to us? Are we thankful for those? I have a video clip that I'd like to show that I think illustrates that this morning.
I'm alive!
Yeah?
Yeah! Hey, Christine! You're here too! I love you!
I know!
Dad! What's happening?
Honey, the power works! It's coming! It goes on and off! Whatever we want! We've got clean water!
Oh, that's great. Look at that.
Ooh. I bet I know what this does.
Rain down the glorious water.
shoes.
Oh, what do we got here, guys?
Food.
I love food. What? A pizza? Are you gonna have work? This is awesome. Look, listen here.
Steve, the what?
Josh, be careful.
Oh. I have a car.
Did you guys see this?
Yeah, you have a car.
A car!
And don't forget your coffee.
You're the best.
You see, in that video, I mean, it shows how often we take for granted the things that we have in our lives. We take for granted running water. We take for granted hot water. We take for granted that we have food to eat. All the blessings that God has given to us. But yet when we play the comparison game and we look at what others have and what we don't have, it changes our attitude. What if we just looked at our own lives? What if we just looked at what God has blessed us with and said, God, thank you for everything you've given me. Thank you that I have running water. Thank you. One of the funniest things I thought on there was him when he put his shoes on. And his shoe, I'm like, how often do I take for granted the shoes that I wear? How often that I take for granted simple things like that or the coffee cup? We all love our coffee. Amen. I mean, that is truly a blessing from the Lord. That we take those things for granted. Many times we just become envious of what other people have, even our enemies. And I don't necessarily mean enemies and people like we're angry at, but just people that are living opposed to our lives. And we focus on that, the things that they have and things that we don't have. One of the reasons why we get so irritated, I believe, is when we look at other people and what they have, and especially if they're living a life contrary to the lives that we're living, that we're trying to live out the words of this book on a daily basis, and we're trying to live out all that God is doing in our lives, and we're trying our best, and we're striving, and yet we look at other people, and they're living contrary to this, and yet it seems like blessings are just coming left and right. Everything they touches turns to gold. The reason why we get so irritated with that is because we're assuming that we know how to do God's job better than he does. We believe that God is not doing his job because if he was doing his job, I would have more than they have. I would be living a blessed life and they would be suffering. So we are saying, we may not be saying it, but we're saying it in our minds and how our frustration and irritation plays, that we're saying, God, I know how to do your job better than you. When in reality, we need to trust that ultimately God is in control of everything. That he is doing everything that I need in my life and be focused and content with that and not looking at anybody else's lives. It says that we are to delight ourselves in God. We are to delight ourselves in God. That should be our focus. Not looking at anybody else, not looking at what they have and what we don't have, but we should delight ourselves in the Lord. And then, what does it say it happened? Then he will give us the desires of our heart. Now, that doesn't mean that God's going to give us everything that we want. If we're delighting in God, follow with me, if we're delighting in God, if that's what our focus is, then the desire of our heart is going to be more of God. And so our desire, he's going to give us more of that, and that's going to be more of him. What we were just singing about, God, I want more of you, I want more of you. And if we're delighting in God, that's going to be our heart's desire, and God is going to give us all that we want. But if we're focused on something else, then we're not going to receive that. You know, on Wednesday night, we were singing a song, and I mentioned this, that, you know, God, I want to be overwhelmed by you. We're overwhelmed. I don't know if maybe you've said it this week, and I know probably coming into the holiday season, we're probably all going to say it, man, I'm just overwhelmed by life. I'm overwhelmed by things and stuff, but I don't want to be overwhelmed by life. I want to be overwhelmed by God. I want to be overwhelmed by him when I'm just standing back going, God, I don't know how I can take much more of you in a good way, not like in a bad way, but in a good way. God, I want more of you. I'm just overwhelmed by your presence. And when we delight ourselves in God, that's how we become overwhelmed by him, because he is going to give us what our heart's desiring, and that is more of him. Not selfish desires, not selfish wants, but more, a desire for more of him. You know, looking at Psalm 37, there's something else that I see here that's very important. And it talks about patience. Woo, we all need a lot more patience, amen? Especially now. I mean, we need patience, but as we enter into this, the crunch of Thanksgiving and Christmas, that it just seems like people lose their minds. Like, we all live together, we all work together, like, can we not just be a little bit more patient? Like, if you get in front of me in line, like, how much time is that really saving you? Like, you know, or if you got to speed up to the red light just to get in front of me, come on, I mean, really, how much? Let's have a little bit more patience. It says that we are to wait patiently on God. Oh, but God, I don't want to wait. I'm in a hurry. Don't you see? I need this now. It's easier said than done, right? It's easier to say that we need to be patient, but how can we become more patient? See, we want God to meet our needs right when we pray. God, I spent time this morning and I prayed. I spent 5 minutes praying. Why haven't you answered my prayer yet? Come on, I'm waiting. And we want God to move, and when he doesn't happen, or, you know what, God, I'll give you a couple days. I know you got to work some things out behind the scenes, and so I'll give you until Wednesday. You know, I prayed about it on Sunday, but by the time I get to church on Wednesday night, man, I want to have a testimony of what you've done, so by Wednesday night, you got to move. And if he hasn't, God, you're taking too long. And then we get upset, frustrated. God, why aren't you moving fast enough? In a couple of days, we're going to feast, right? We're going to feast. Now, you're going to sit in front of a table and there's going to be so much food, you're not going to know what to do with it, all right? There's going to be so much food. There's going to be so many choices. Thursday, we're going to be here. And I just want a reminder, if you need somewhere to be on Thanksgiving, come to church Thursday between 11 and 1. We're going to be here. If you have family, be with your family. Enjoy. Spend time with them. But if you don't have anywhere to go on Thanksgiving, don't be alone. Have someone to eat with on Thanksgiving. We're going to be here. But we're going to have a lot of choices on Thursday. And thank you to those that are preparing food and bringing it. Or maybe you're going to go to a family's house and all of your favorite dishes are going to be there. And you're going to have all this food before you. You're going to get to choose, you know. Your aunt's going to make your favorite dessert and grandma's going to make your favorite side dish or whatever. You're going to have all this food. And if you're like Rebecca and I, when we got married the first couple years, we went to like 3 different houses on Thanksgiving. Like, you go to early lunch, and then you go to late lunch, and then you go to like dinner or something, and then if you got time, you do dessert at somebody else's house. And so we wised up real quick and said, all right, you know what? We're just going to have to choose. Like, we're going to go to this side of the family this year and this side of the family next year because we can't be everywhere on one day. Or we're going to do Thanksgiving here and Christmas here. It's one of those difficult things, but you have to, or else you just don't know where you're going. But there's a lot of choices, and there's so much as we eat on Thanksgiving. You have a choice of all the wonderful food. And the point is that I'm trying to make and not make you hungry before lunch is that you have a lot of choices of what you're going to eat. And when it comes to our walk with God, we've got a choice as well. When we're waiting patiently on God, what are we going to feast on? Are we going to feast on frustration, or are we going to feast on Scripture? Are we going to feast on irritation and anger? Are we going to feast on prayer? Are we going to feast on spending time in God's presence and worshiping him, or discouragement? It's our choice. And I believe during that time of waiting, God is saying, it's your choice. What are you choosing to feed yourself? Are you going to feast? Are you going to enjoy my presence? Are you going to enjoy this time and feast on what is good for your soul and what is good in your walk with God? Or are you going to feast on the things that are leading us away from God? You see, God desires that we are dependent on him for everything. But that means that we have to develop some sort of patience. You see, if God just gave us everything that we wanted right when we wanted it, he's going to be no better than a Santa Claus in the sky. Saying, okay, this is what I want, boom, it happens. Then we're not dependent on him and we're not trusting in him. We're just saying, God, give me, give me, give me, give me. And as any good parent knows, you don't give your kids everything they want. Because if you do, we've got a generation of kids that don't know what they're doing and how to live life right now. Another story for another day. But in reality, as good parents, we know that although I want to give my child everything, I want to, when they say, Dad, can you please, okay, sure, let me empty my pocketbooks. But I know that's not the right response if I want them to be a well-adjusted person, but to make them wait. Patience is a good thing, and God ultimately can give us everything we want. But there is a time of waiting, and what do we do in that waiting matters. What are we feasting on during that time? Are we spending time digging into His Word, encouraging ourselves, or being frustrated and angry, and God, why aren't you doing what you said you were going to do? The psalmist shows us that we must remain thankful in life, because if we don't keep that attitude of thankfulness, it's going to turn us away from what God has for us. When we don't remain thankful, we turn into fretting or worry. And trying to deal with the enemies ourselves and not letting God take care of them. You see, there's probably a word in here that you picked up on as I read through this passage, mentioned several times. Fretting. It's not a word that we always use very often anymore, right? I mean, that's not usually a word that's in our vocabulary. But David says it three different times in this passage. Talks about fretting, that we should not fret. Just a clue. Anytime the Bible says something a couple times, back to back to back, take note of it. It is important. Muy importante. Okay? And so David says it three times. Do not fret. Do not fret. So we should not fret. Okay, got the picture. Should not. Well, why? Why shouldn't I fret? Why shouldn't I worry? Now, the Hebrew word to fret means to burn. Now, the verb in the Hebrew reflexive stem could be translated, watch this, translated like this. Don't work yourself into a slow burn when you see evil men prospering. Now, what that means is don't let it light this fire where you just burn in on yourself. It's not going to happen instantaneously, but when we fret, it turns into this slow burn, and it just, you know, as you watch a fire, it'll burn and burn and burn for hours, and you don't really see much of a flame, but it's still hot. It's still there, and that's what, when we're worrying or when we're fretting, it's a slow burn eating us from the inside out. Basically, don't let it get under your skin. It will only lead you into wrong directions or wrong decisions. It is far too easy to worry and fret and think about all the negatives than to be patient and wait on God. It is way too easy to worry and fret and all of these things than to stop and be patient and wait on God. And that's why David mentions it three times. Don't fret, don't fret, don't fret, don't worry. My mom used to help me with this very, very much growing up. And she would tell me, Matt, don't, and she actually used that word, fret. Don't fret about it. And I always felt it odd because not many people use that word. And she's, don't fret. And she would tell me, Matt, you know, as I was going through things and you know, I would call her up and talk to her. And she was just one of those people. We all have those people in our lives, right, that we can call and talk to. And they're always going to answer. And they always give us great advice. We know it's solid. We know it's great advice. We're not just, and that was the thing with my mom, is I knew that she wasn't always giving me what I wanted to hear. And I know there were times that she wanted to do that, but she didn't tell me what I wanted to hear. She told me what I needed to hear. And there's a big difference that you have people in your lives that are just going to tell you what you want to hear. Those are not the best influences for us. We need people that will be honest with us and tell us what we need to hear, not what we want to hear. And so I would call my mom and tell her some of my, you know, worries or frustrations. And she would say, Matt, just, do you think God is in heaven just fretting and wringing his hands? I said, no, Mom, he's not. She said, then why are you worried about it? I don't know. I guess I'll give it over to God. I guess he does know what he's doing. She was one of those people, though, that gave great advice, but she didn't take it herself. Like, she would worry, and I'm like, Mom, you just told me not to worry. Why are you worrying? Like, we all have those people that, like, they give great advice. I'm like, okay, now you do it. What you just told me to do, you do it. But she would always do that. And it was such a help to me not to worry, not to fret. And it helped me, that visual picture, to realize God's not worried about this. Why am I? I don't need to fret. I don't need to worry. God has it in control, and I need to be patient right now. I need to trust in him. Maybe he's stretching me to stretch my faith, to trust in him, to develop my relationship in him. We don't need to concern ourselves with others. We don't need to look at what they have and what we don't and get ourselves worked up and all of those things that can happen to us. God will ultimately take care of people as he sees fit. And we don't need to think, well, if I was in charge, I would do it this way. It's a good thing we're not in charge because we'd probably mess it up 10 ways to Sunday. I know I would. You see, the cure to fretting, the cure to worry is faith. See, having faith in God and his goodness, trusting in his plans and not our own plans, depending on him and counting less on ourselves. Worry only leads and fretting only leads to destructive behavior. It only leads to negative things in our hearts and our lives. And that's not what God wants to build inside of us. God wants us to build a people who are patient, that are waiting on him. To say, God, I want you to meet this need right here, right now, but I'm going to wait patiently. That when we come around people who are impatient, we typically don't say, that's the person I want to be like, right? We don't say, man, I want to be like them. They're so impatient. Man, I want to be like them. No, you see the woman or man who has lived a life after God, and they've gone through trials, and they're quiet. And their faith is strong. And you look and say, man, I want to be like them because they're waiting on God and they know they've seen God move. That's my role model. That's my example. Not the person who is running, impatient. It's that. And that's what God ultimately wants to develop in you and I, that we patiently wait on him, allow him and not worry and try to take everything into our own hands, but to say, God, I'm going to wait on you. I'm going to feed myself. I'm going to feast on your word. I'm going to feast in your presence because I know that's developing faith inside of me. That's developing something so much more. And I'm thankful that you're developing this in me. I'm thankful that you're developing patience in me. You can't pray. We can pray for patience. And the only thing that does is God puts us into situations where we're going to have to be patient. He's going to make you sit at the DMV for 12 hours. You prayed for patience. Now go sit at the DMV. You're going to be a patient person. So it's one of the things that when people say, God, I just want to be more patient. I'm like, okay, be cautious. But instead of necessarily praying for patience, say, God, teach me. Teach me in my waiting times. Teach me how I can to dive deeper into you, to have my relationship with you grow even more. That patience will grow as my faith grows. See, it can be hard to stay focused and find things to be grateful for when it seems like the world and everybody living around us may seem to have so much success and easy success. You know, a couple weeks ago, I mean, all the news was, you know, the lottery was like $1 trillion or something. Everybody, man, if I won the lottery, it'd be so awesome, be so cool. And yes, I'm right there. I mean, that was so awesome if I played the lottery and, man, I won $1 trillion or whatever it was. And then, of course, after taxes and all this other stuff, then, man, then we'd have X amount of dollars. And we all played that game. We, in our mind, we mentally thought, man, I could quit my job and my kids through college, and then I'd have all this money left over. And, of course, I would give money to the church. We're going to tithe. And if you ever win the lottery, tithe off of it. We will receive it and we'll do great things for the kingdom of God. But we all played that mind game and we all worked it out in our mind. God, if you just allowed me to win the lottery, how amazing, how that prayer works, I don't know. But God, if you allowed me to win the lottery, yes. But we all thought that in our minds, right? That it was easy money, it was success, it was right there. Yeah, it would be great, and there would be, you know, you could live off the interest alone. You could set your family up, and that would be great. But I don't think God wants us to have that instantaneous, boom, it's right there, but he's developing something deeper inside of us. Because if we just had all of that money sitting in front of us, we wouldn't be dependent upon him anymore, would we? We would be dependent upon that money and that stuff and those things. While I do believe God blesses us, and there are people that God has blessed tremendously, but they are faithful, and they trust God. Even though they may have all the money in the world, they still are dependent on God. And see, God wants us to be dependent on him, a life that is so engaged with him that we're trusting him for everything. You know, people may have money. They may have stuff. They may have the vacations. They may have the perfect Instagram feed where they're always smiling and everything is great and wonderful and everything. Man, I want that life. God, why don't I have that life? Why do I have to be so, why does everything have to be so challenging? Why is all this stuff going on? And in a moment, we can wish that we had their lives. God, they're not even living for you. They may go to church on Christmas and Easter, maybe. And I'm faithfully serving you. I want their life. In those times, we need to remind ourselves to let God judge righteously. Let Him do the judging. Our job is not to judge. Our job is to live righteously. It's God's job to judge righteously. It's our job to live righteously. There's a difference between the two. Knowing our eternal reward is in heaven. Better than anything that we can imagine. Better than anything that we can comprehend. Better, yes, better than winning the lottery. Better than having a mansion. Better than going on every expensive vacation. Whatever it may be, that all of the stuff that we could possibly imagine here on earth, eternity is going to be so much greater than just a little minute taste of what all the wealth in the world can buy. I was on the lawnmower yesterday and that song came on, and we don't, you don't hear it too often, but that song, I Can Only Imagine, came on my playlist. Man, that's such a great reminder. I mean, it's, you know, one of those songs that just, it hits you right where you are, and that I can only imagine what heaven is going to be like. I can only imagine what it's going to be when we see Jesus face to face, when all of the things and trouble in this life just, they don't even matter anymore. And it made me pause and stop and go, God, thank you. As I'm teaching and preaching on this every week, I still have to remind myself, stop and say, God, thank you. Thank you for all that you've done in my life. Thank you for the troubles and the difficulties that I've gone through. Thank you for all the things, because you've taught me and you've been with me and you've shown me things and my faith has grown. Thank you for all of those things. Not just for the great things, but thank you for the troubling times as well. Because my faith has grown. And as I was driving, mowing the church, I said, God, thank you for this church. Thank you for the new roof that we were able to put on. Thank you for the new paint that we put on. Thank you for all the things that we've done. Thank you for that. And I said, God, I thank you for every person that is a part of this church. And can I say this morning, Pastor, thank you for being such a wonderful church. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to get up behind this pulpit and preach the Word of God. Thank you that you come back every week. Because there were a couple weeks that I got up here and I went, I don't think anybody's ever come back. But I am so thankful for you. I'm thankful that you challenge me, that you make me dig deeper into God's word, that you challenge me to get on my knees and pray. I thank you for all the things. But ultimately, I'm thankful to God because He has allowed us to be here in this time. Through the good times, through the challenging times. But it's important above all things that we commit ourselves to Him and that we're dependent on Him. None of the stuff that could have happened around this church would ever be possible without Him. None of the things that God has done in our lives is possible without Him. And may we remember that today. May we be thankful for all that God has done in our lives. Not looking to the left, not looking to the right, but looking to God. Saying, God, thank you for what you've done. That we may live righteous lives and let God do the judging. Let God take care of all that stuff. And feast on His goodness. Feast on His word, feast in His presence, to be overwhelmed by Him. So all across the room, if you would, close your eyes, bow your heads with me this morning. I want to encourage you that maybe if your mind has wandered from the blessings that God has given to you and looking at other people's lives and say, God, forgive me of that. Help me keep things in perspective. That you will judge righteously, that I don't have to worry about anybody else, but help me to live righteously. That's my heart. That's my desire, is to live righteously before you. That I know you will take care of my enemies. You will take those in accordance to your perfect will. But I don't have to concern myself with anybody else, but only my walk with you. Help us to live righteous before you. That during our times of waiting, that you would grow that faith, that you would grow that patience, that you have a feast before us, and it's our choice. What are we going to feast on? On your word, on your goodness, on your presence, all of those things. To not worry, to not fret about tomorrow, but trust in you. If you're here today and you say, you know what, maybe you've just been dependent upon yourself, say, God, just in your own words, say, God, help me be more dependent on you. I can't tell you exactly what that is, but the Holy Spirit can tell you. As the Holy Spirit is moving this morning and speaking to our hearts, let him speak. Whatever that small voice is, let him speak. Maybe there's an area that you're saying, God, I give everything to you, but you've been holding on to one area. Say, God, I'm going to be dependent on every area of my life, not just five, but all six, or whatever it may be. Be dependent on him. Thank him for all that he has done. You might look back at the course of this year and go, man, this year has not been the greatest year. But I promise you, if you really do an introspective look, that you're going to see God move. And God has done some great things. And be thankful for those. Be thankful that you're here today. Being in God's presence with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, that's something to be thankful for. God, I thank you for every single person here today, every person that calls FLC home. I thank you, God, that I have this privilege and opportunity to lead this amazing group of people. God, I thank you for every blessing that you have bestowed on this church. I thank you for every challenge that has come on our way, because it has caused us to rise above and to see that we can't do everything in our own power, but we have to be dependent on you. God, I thank you for every great and wonderful blessing. I thank you for every single Operation Christmas Child shoebox that we are able to bless kids around the world. And I thank you, God, for meeting the financial needs of this church. I thank you, God, for meeting the spiritual needs of this church. God, I thank you that we are in this place for such a time as this. May we be more dependent on you and less of ourselves. That we wake up every day full of gratitude for all that you have done. Keeping our focus and our eyes on you. That our heart's desire would be more of you and less of ourselves. That's our heart today. More of you. More of you.
Thanks for listening to the message of the week. If you've enjoyed this teaching, would you consider a gift to support the ministry of FLC? Visit mylighthouse.church/give. Faith Lighthouse Church is located at 3409 Paul Buckman Highway in Plant City, Florida. Our weekly worship services are held on Sundays at 11 a.m. We also have various life groups and programs for all ages that meet throughout the week. We'd love for you to be a part of what God is doing in Plant City.